studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And a good Monday afternoon. This is Oregon Update. My name is Robin. On the other side of the table is my co-host, Cliff.
Good morning. How are you? Good afternoon. Excuse me.
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm still kind of used to the Wednesday morning show. And if you recall last week, we had a little... Sometimes it gets pretty chaotic here in the studio. And last week, well, Cliff has this little tradition where... He just doesn't like store-bought birds, so he went to the farm, got a live one, and let it loose in the studio. And I understand that, talking to you off-air, that you were a little attached to that bird.
Well, of course. That's a living thing.
So did you wind up cooking it, or what did you do with it?
No, it's living in the backyard, of course. You don't cook a bird that's a living thing.
They scream a lot in the oven.
Yeah, really?
I'm just kidding, folks. I've never done that.
No, you go to the store and you buy one that's already cooked. What the heck? That's easier. That way you don't have to ever meet it.
But what did I tell you about bringing pets into the studio?
Well, I didn't bring it to the studio. It's not there. It's out the backyard.
But anyways, we can't say we don't have fun on the program. Anyways, welcome to the program. Again, this Oregon Update, and you can join us in many different ways. The best way, actually, right now, while we're broadcasting live, is to pick up your communications device and punch the whatever buttons you have on there and dial 646-721-9887. You can listen to the program as well by dialing that number. And when you'd like to participate, just press 1. On your cell phone, and it'll come up on my board, and I'll say, welcome to the show, area code, whatever area code shows up on here.
Then we can talk.
And also,
live person. That's the one.
A live person, which live people are a lot more fun to talk with than dead people.
That's the whole reason for doing this, is we want to talk to real live persons, people.
That's right. Anyways, you can also follow us in the chat room. We do have a guest in the chat room. Welcome. Unfortunately, the failings of Blog Talk, if you are... on that page is that as a guest, you can't participate in the chat, which is really, I every time I get the opportunity, I bring that up to Blog Talk. I think they should just open it up to anybody. So you wouldn't have to have an account to participate. The accounts at Blog Talk Radio, even just to be a listener, are free. Mm-hmm. And we also have our own chat room at krbnradio.com. You do not need an account to participate there. And if you're listening to the program on one of the archives, you can still participate by commenting on Facebook or in our comments section, or better yet, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
You can listen to it live from that page too. If you click on Blog Talk Radio's widget up there, it'll let you hear us live. So you can do everything from krbnradio.com. Absolutely everything. Everything you ever wanted to do, and a few things you hadn't even thought of.
If there's anything at all that you wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, I've done a couple of things. I don't know if you've looked at that page or not, but there's a lot of candidates. I keep pushing the candidate forums. There's a one place there where it says the next Republican candidate forum is on December 10th, and you click on there, and it'll tell you who and why and where and what. But next to that, on the left, you'll find a thing that says declared candidates. And the reason I bring that up is because, courtesy of CNN, all of the declared candidates are on that list. You don't see them all at the debates, by the way. There are several candidates that are declared candidates that don't have enough of a following or enough time or enough money or whatever, I don't know what, to actually get on the debates. So you always see the same old 9 people over and over and over again, which is fine. That's enough. That's probably the most that'll go along. But it would be nice to know about some of the others. And so if you click on declared candidates, that'll show you a list, courtesy of CNN, of all the declared candidates that are on.
Well, you bring up a good point, too, because, I mean, like even here in Eugene, there is a well, he was a young guy, early 20s, that said he was declaring his bid for the to be a president's candidate. Same thing in Seattle. There was a talk show host that was doing the same thing. If they declare their candidacy and they're not allowed to be included on the debates, they have no chance because they can't get recognized.
Well, see, I agree with that, and that gets down to my big thing that I'm pushing, the campaign finance reform, and I do believe we need to change the way we do this. And I am well aware that you can't change it in time for this election, but for the next presidential election or any election from that on, I believe we need to definitely make radical changes in how things are done to allow people who don't have huge amounts of money and that aren't already millionaires to be able to be a part of these things. Yeah, I don't mind. I guess I can't fault the networks for not putting everybody on there. Yes, I can, as a matter of fact. I think everybody should be given the opportunity and allowed to stay there. Perhaps at least for the first debate or two, and then they could go back and do polls and find out who polled the most and see who should be kept on. But there's an awful lot of people that need to be put on there that aren't.
Well, that's the whole point, because there are some people that would make excellent candidates, would make an excellent president. But again, unless you got the unless you know how to be a fundraiser or, like you say, a millionaire, you really don't have an opportunity or a chance.
Yeah. I mean, Vern Wunsch, I don't know how to pronounce his name, V-U-E-N-C-H, S-C-H-E, Wunsch, I presume it's German. But he spent $36,000 in 100 days. He is still a candidate, he's a declared candidate, but he doesn't ever get, we don't see anywhere. You can go to this page and you can and read up about what he's about. Matt Snyder, where is he from? It doesn't say where he's from. He doesn't ever tell you where he's from. I guess he doesn't want you to know. But he doesn't. Now, Rick Santorum gets on there. Buddy Romer from Louisiana. Actually, he was a former governor of Louisiana, and he still doesn't show up anywhere. So there are some people. Tom Miller, career flight attendant. A lot of them don't bother to tell you where they're from. I would think that they would want you to know where they're from. But whatever. Jimmy McMillan, Andy Martin, Fred Karger, Gary Johnson, names that you don't hear. Of course, they're the ones that are on there that you do hear, too. So anyway, just thought I'd let you know. Lots of things to go to KRBN Radio for, because we've got a lot of information on there. Plus the fact, I know a lot of people have talked to me about, you know, everybody talks about it's in the Constitution or ignores the Constitution or this and that and the other. We have the entire Constitution on there. Click on Constitution and you can read the entire thing. So there's a lot of really valuable information over there.
So if there's anything that I want to know about the Constitution, it'll be there.
It's there. Well,
it's there.
You have to read it. I know, we're not paying you to read it. You're not a senator. But if you want to know it, it's there. It's there. Anytime. And all of our programs, current and former, prior, early, whatever you want to call it, they're all there. Everything. The Dodd-Frank bill. You've asked about the Dodd-Frank bill. That's on. Just click on Dodd-Frank and you can read that.
In fact, there's something else on there, too, that people should check out, and that's the people that actually give us a little bit of money for doing this. And we don't really make that much on it, but, you know, every little bit helps. And, of course, if you'd like to advertise on
KRBN. A few thousand there.
Yeah, it was a few thousand.
I wish.
Yeah, a dreamer. But if you would like to advertise on KRBN Internet News Talk Radio, we would appreciate it. And speaking of advertising, our sponsor for this hour, for this show, is Dancing Dog Cookies. And if you haven't seen them, I say this about every week. If you haven't seen them, you need to go to their website at the very least and check them out, because they're all handmade. Every one of them is handmade, and they make them into these shapes of different items, and they can do special orders too. But they make them look like pancakes or waffles and other styles, and they're really, really well done.
I was watching a movie at the end. This kid's mother made him triangle pancakes, which of course taste a lot better than just regular old pancakes.
I used to add food coloring to mine.
Oh yeah, so green triangle pancakes come out as Christmas trees.
That's right. Anyways, here's our spot for Dancing Dog Cookies.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out, and if you order, Tom, you heard it from us, because that goes a long ways in so many ways, and like I say, it's a husband and wife team, and they can use the support.
And we can use the support. CarabanRico.com.
Yeah.
Just in case you didn't know who us is.
That's right.
Anyway, we got a lot of things going on. Just a ton of things going on.
I got a little news item I kind of want to touch on real quick before we get into the thing. It's real heavy, if I may.
Okay.
And if I can click on the right thing, here we go.
Reach out and touch someone.
I am. And that little intro, which was trying to get at the last minute, I do apologize, is with the way things are going these days, it's kind of been said that, with all the superhero movies and everything, that we could use a superhero, in real life. Well, apparently there is one. His name is Phoenix Jones, and he patrols the streets of Seattle along with two other of his friends. I don't have their names in front of me, but he actually wears a costume. And when he sees crime going on, he interferes and subdues the guy and calls the cops. Well, kind of cool, but I guess there's also more of these costume characters showing up around the nation too, which is kind of neat in a way. Of course, but recently he interfered with somebody or subdued a guy that stabbed somebody.
Wow.
Chased him down for about 8 blocks and held him there for until the cops got there. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah. Remember years ago, there were the Green Berets, Black Berets, I think they were, when they were civilians. There were, anyway, a bunch of people who used to wear berets and go out and sort of patrol the streets. They kept, and they weren't everywhere, but I thought it was a great idea. People who had enough confidence in themselves and had enough chutzpah to go out there and do something about what was going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was in New York area.
I was in California. They were there, too.
Yeah, California. Yeah, it was a good movement, I thought. I don't know whatever happened to it. It's part of the Guardian Angels, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's it. And, of course, and different groups of people that do things, and it's good to hear. And we have normally the different police departments in different communities sometimes enlist people to help out in doing things, too. I think it's a great idea.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I don't agree with the idea of vigilantes per se, but citizen patrol, especially in the time of budget cuts.
Especially, yes, right now. Boy.
The downside of that is that you give the welcome. You give the cities and counties an excuse not to spend the money if the people are going to stand up and do their job for them for nothing.
Well, the only thing with that is, you know, we've got an awful lot of cities and a lot of states and people that are financially strapped and are not spending the money that they could or should. I believe in, like you say, in a lot of instances, they cut the players, they cut the things out that hurt the public the most, so that the public will dig deeper, so to speak. But we're, you know, I think we're dug out. The simple fact of the matter is that that around the world right now, everybody's dug out. So we've got to stop doing that, and we've got to get out there and start helping. And you know, a little, every little bit counts. You can help in a lot of different ways, and that's just one of them. Paying attention. I'm not saying I don't think that you should go out there and stop people physically from committing crimes necessarily, because that can get you in trouble, and it isn't too hard at all to do that. But at least call the police and let them know what's going on. They don't have to be everywhere that way. They have the eyes, have eyes everywhere, and can see what's going on and go out and do something about it themselves. But and that can make a whole lot of difference. If they can be working somewhere and patrolling something, but if something happens somewhere else, they get a heads up as to what's going on, and that can help a lot and save a lot of money, I think.
Well, and that's true, and the they really do appreciate the input from the citizens. The downside, you know, with technology today is because the FCC mandates a lot of the police had to go digital, just like with the TV sets, you know, they had to go digital. So it makes it harder for the public to listen in on police communications. But in my early 20s, 30s, somewhere in there, back when I was doing paper routes for extra money, I also had a police scanner in my car, and I heard that this is about 2 o'clock in the morning, the Dunkin' Donuts got held up, and I was close to the area where it happened, and I knew the area and figured, well, you know, they're only going to come out one or two places. So I went over there and just kind of sat and waited, and sure enough, here he comes, and I followed the guy about a block back, got on the what was it called back, RCC, radio communications phone or whatever, where you have a VHS with a keypad, kind of like a ham radio. Called the police and led him right up to the house where the guy went to.
Wow.
And couldn't have done it if I couldn't listen to, you know, their communications. I wouldn't even have known what was going on.
Really?
Yeah, they were super appreciative. Even the one commander that didn't like scanners was... you know, he says, well, you know, it's the public getting involved is what helps. And he goes, yeah, but you close the public out, we can't help. Sorry.
Well, the technology does change, I'll tell you that. I've got a couple of handheld scanners sitting around, you know, 200 bands, is that what they're called? 200 frequencies or something like that. Okay. And they're almost worthless at this point, unfortunately. But they were quite expensive at one time. So that's the only problem is times do change and things do change. And it's good. I guess it is. I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of technology, and like I say, we're going to get into some heavier topics here in just a moment. Again, you can join us with any of these topics that we have or anything that's on your mind, 646-721-9887. The Chevy Volt.
Oh.
Yeah, it's I guess they got a little problem.
Yeah, they definitely do. Definitely do. You know, there are a lot of electric cars out there. And the problem with, I think, the Chevy Volt is the fact that they went out and did it too fast. They decided they wanted an electric car, and they weren't ready for an electric car. And they went out and took the first battery that was available and so on. I mean, that's not exactly the case, but they didn't vet things out. They didn't check them out and make sure what was going to happen. And consequently, those batteries in the Chevy Volts, it hasn't been just one. There have been several fires. Most of them are in tests, by the way, but a couple of them have been not in tests. So I would be a little wary of a Chevy Volt at this particular point.
Or any of the hybrids for that matter, because when you're dealing with the as much current as those batteries have, I mean, if you take your just a regular car battery and you look at the specifications on some have 400 plus cranking amps. What cranking amps is the maximum amount that the battery can produce, which is like taking a a wrench and shorting across both terminals, and that's how much current is coming through it. Well, the problem is that you have to design these cars to basically crunch up into a small ball. And when you do that, sooner or later, some wires, especially high current wires, are going to get crossed, and that's when you get the fires.
Actually, that really is not the case. But I mean, I don't believe that there are any other cars on the market that are that volatile at this particular point. The Chevy Volt is the only one. There have been other. The Prius, for example, has had many, many, many instances of different things, accidents, etc., and they don't burst into flame. The actual electric cars don't do that. I don't think there's another car that has a problem.
Yeah, I do know that search and rescue, when they deal with any type of a hybrid, one of the first things they do is that they're trained on how to actually cut the power feeds from the batteries.
Of course.
Because like you say, even though...
You know, if you're looking at a gasoline car, you've got to know how to take care of that, too. It's just that we've had those around for so long and it's so easy that everybody knows, you know, you don't mess with the gasoline. You've got a little tube that goes all the way from the back of the car to the front of the car as a general rule. And it's got gasoline in there, and any part of it gets messed up with, and it could go into flames. That's another thing.
Or the gas tank can eject.
Well, and you watch all these movies where every time a car gets hit or any kind of a thing goes wrong, they explode. That doesn't happen either. I'm sorry. Gasoline is not that volatile.
Yeah. But anyways... You know, so they got a little problem, and that they need to work out, you know, cars catching on fire. So, but that can happen, like Cliff said, with any car.
Really?
Black Friday.
Yeah, amazing.
I can't. My spouse works at Walmart. I'm not going to say which one, and was telling me that as they were preparing to. Well, Walmart's actually stayed open 24 hours, but they're actually preparing for the beginning of Black Friday. The people are actually camping in the aisles waiting for this. And then you hear the stories where somebody attacked other shoppers with pepper spray. It's like...
I didn't hear that one.
Black Friday?
The thing that I saw was that the economists say they're not getting real excited by the fact that they had a record $52 billion in sales, up 16% from a year ago. Now,
right.
I think that's good, and that's fine, but it doesn't necessarily say that it's going to be a strong holiday season, because it just may necessarily say that everybody did all the shopping in that 24 hours is all, and they may not be going to do it later, or maybe they will. We won't know until it actually takes place. The Black Friday was better than last year in almost every case, but almost every case, stores stayed open longer than they did last year. And, so, of course, some of the people are all upset because they messed up Thanksgiving, because people had to leave their Thanksgiving guests and go to work in the evening or something. And I think that's just a little crazy. That's a little far.
The occupiers were trying to shut down or prevent shoppers from going in, because Black Friday is the... what can actually make or break a store's profit for a year?
They make 10. Just Black Friday itself, they say, is about 9% of their entire year. Just that one day, basically, which is now 2 days, but when it was started out as one day. You make 40% of your sales in the last 2 months of the year, the holiday season. 40% of your sales for the year are done in just that last 2 months, most department stores. So that is pretty major. But Black Friday is a pretty major part of that 2 months, too. But they don't have to do that. That's something that different businesses did to themselves. They each one trying to get ahead of the other one and ahead of the other one. Well, there is a point where you get ahead. Just stay open 24 hours a day starting in the 1st of November and have it over with. The hell with it. That would probably help.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm hearing all about now is more to the point, are they making any money? Their sales were up, yes, but their margin is down. They're getting deeper and deeper and deeper sales. So if you sold something for a 10% margin last year and you're only going to sell it for a 5% margin this year, you have to have twice as much sales in order to make the same amount of money. So at this particular point, I think you've got a lot of stores that are actually making less money profit than they did last year. They're actually selling more merchandise, but they're making less profit in the process of doing it. And I think that's stupid. Why not just do it in a shorter period of time and make everybody happy?
Well, I think it's all about cash flow. You know, and if you're a store that doesn't participate in Black Friday, well, you're going to lose out.
Well, that's what everybody's afraid of. You're going to lose out. The thing is, I've got this all figured out. What you do is you're a store. And you go ahead and you watch what all these Black Friday sales are, and you go out and pay attention to how much they're selling every item for. And then what you do is you come back, and the next Friday, you put everything on sale for at least $5 less, or just a very small amount less. But you advertise the hell out of it. Tell everybody, whatever you paid for it last, you know, on Black Friday, we'll give it to you for less. And you'd be amazed at how many people come screaming in there to get that stuff, and will just ignore the Black Friday, because if they know they can get it. You know, people are interesting, because I've watched this. I worked at Circuit City for a while, and it's interesting. You can sell it for $2 less than the store next door, and people will drive 20 miles out of their way to come and get it for $2 less. I'm serious. People do that.
Oh, I believe it.
It's just amazing. But and that's, I think people should take advantage of that fact. So if you want to, that's my market strategy, and that's a patented market strategy. But I'm giving it to you free. The Wilson strategy. There you go.
That's right. Today only, folks.
Yeah, right. Tomorrow will be $7,000. But whatever. But it's an interesting thing. The black, everybody was a little worried, because this has been a bad year. This is really a bad year, and everybody was worried that Black Friday was going to be really outrageous. But you know, the actual phrase Black Friday and the actual idea got a huge amount of advertising on different news broadcasts and different news stations. That's what did it. It had nothing to do with the stores that it were doing. I didn't see as much actual advertising for the actual Black Friday items or merchandise as I did the year before. But they had so many people talking about it, and the fact, was it going to be good? Was it not going to be good? Is this the bad thing to do or not the bad thing to do? There were so many people just talking about the idea that I think it really took off. Next year, I don't expect to see that happening.
Well, I'm surprised somebody hasn't come out and said it was racist.
Yeah, I suppose. It could be. I don't know. Actually, I don't think that would be real hard, because the idea of Black Friday is to put your store in the black, and being in the black is a good thing in business, not bad.
Yeah, but, you know, everything's racist nowadays.
Oh, I know. That would be a real hard one to spin, though, I think, to be honest.
Well, I don't know nowadays. Speaking of spinning, just leave right off in here. 646-721-9887 is our number. We got lines open. Give us a call. Okay. Congress.
Oh, yes.
That word in itself. If you look in the dictionary under failure, it's funny in a way when you think about it. I mean, there's a lot going on about in the news about Congress and about super committee, and for the longest time as a society, you know, we've always made fun of our government and put our government down. And I guess what's the latest approval ratings, like 19% or less than that?
For Congress, 7.
For 7%. Now, the said thing about this is the high offices that run this country.
Well, no, the sad thing about it is they're not. They're not running this country. We have a king.
We have a king, exactly.
I mean, he doesn't. He's just flat out said he doesn't give a damn about the Congress. He doesn't give a damn about the Constitution. He's just going to, by executive order, he's going to do anything he wants to. And the stupidest part about this whole thing is that Congress goes ahead and lets him do that. They are allowing him to do this. Well, you know, every other. This gets into what I want to talk about and spend some time on, and that's the fact that the rest of the world is collapsing around us. We have other countries that are actually, the presidents are stepping down, the prime ministers are stepping down and turning it over to business people to run their country because they've been screwed up so long. And yet we're allowing this person to get away with anything he wants. We've got to stop that, and Congress could do that. Congress could. You know, you say we don't have the ability to vote him out or to get rid of him. We do. We do. We can vote him out of there. We can get rid of him. We can put sanctions on him. We can keep him from spending any money. We can stop every, you know, we can counteract every executive order he does and stop it. It can be done, but we have to get a Congress that gets out of their dead butts. There's 430 some odd dead butts out there that are not doing anything. And they've got to get in on off the dime and do something.
Well, that's the point. I mean, the Congress, which seems to be self-serving, I can't remember the names of it. The talk show I was listening to last night, but they were talking about how a couple of the Congress members, you know, they get elected with just a little bit of money in their pockets, and then they wind up becoming millionaires. Like Nancy Pelosi, for example, who, and it's okay for them to do the insider trading, which would put anybody else in jail.
See, that's why we've got to work on this 28th Amendment thing. We've got to make everything that's legal for them legal for us, and everything that's not legal for us not legal for them. This is the idea of having a special class of citizens has got to end.
Yeah, that's why we originally had the Tea Party, I guess. But you're absolutely right. The laws that they pass have to apply to themselves as well. But, you know, in the past, when the economy was doing a lot better, you know, individuals like you and me, you know, we just kind of looked the other way, let Congress or let Washington do what they're going to do, because it didn't really affect us, per se. I mean, we're just trying to get along with our own little lives. Now we're going through the recession, which even though last year they said the recession was over, I believe that one.
It is over. It's going to be a depression.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of affecting our individual lives. And if you look at the country now, even though I kind of disagreeing with the way the Occupy movement has or is going, but the fact is that you still have a large group of people getting together nationwide to kind of, even though they're not sure what their message is, but they are sending a message.
Actually,
our country's changing.
Very few of those people are really doing anything other than having a big party in the park. I don't think they're accomplishing anything. Not in the United States, anyway. Another country.
I agree with you. I agree with you, and I don't agree with their methods. They're, well, I mean, in the beginning, yeah, it sent a big message, especially to have a nationwide event. But now it's just.
Unfortunately, what's happening now? You've got two factions in the Occupy movement. You've got the ones that are controlled by the unions, and unions are going and stepping in, and they're the ones that are actually doing anything productive. And whether it's good productive or bad productive, it's still productive. And then the others are just the vagrants who have nothing better to do than stand around or have a place to live and not have to pay for it and so on and so forth. So I don't see this continuing on. I do, because so many things are happening around the world that are totally unusual, and this is perhaps one of them. And who knows, it could turn into something worthwhile, but until we get the people with ulterior motives, which is the union people, out of this, because they're not there because they need the money or they're just simply there to create problems for people.
Well, it's not just the unions, but like I said, you know, you go into like the high offices, and when you know, you're not. You would think you're going there with everybody's focus is to would be focusing on the health of the economy, the health of the country. Instead, they're going there for their own self-serving things. It's like if Well, just like you say, the 9% approval on Congress. Have you ever heard any congressman really say that we're concerned about that? Except
yes. Oh, yes. Believe me, they're a lot very concerned about it, but not concerned enough to actually stand up for themselves and do anything.
Exactly. Maybe we should get somebody, a candidate for president like Jesse Ventura.
I would not have Jesse Ventura in there for all the money in the world. I know you seem to like him, but I don't like him.
I just like the fact that, you know, either that or, you know, somebody that's willing to just kind of get up there and I don't know, make a little noise or whatever.
Well, there are actual intelligent people who could get up and make that much noise, too. So that's who I'd rather have in there. Pay attention to we did have a debate since I last talked to you. We had one, and it was a very well-run debate that was done by CNN, Wolf Blitzer. Yeah, Wolf Blitzer. I think that's his name. Was the one who moderated it, and I have to give him very much credit. He did a very good job. He let people take almost as long as they wanted to. He would wave at them or something, but he didn't make a big thing. The people in front of him, the debate before that, made such a big thing about stopping on time and not making any noise and not doing this, not doing that. He spent so much time cracking down on the audience that he didn't have any time left over for the actual questions. But Wolf,
yeah, you spend 5 minutes trying to tell the person that their time's up.
Yeah, exactly. And so none of us get anything out of it. But this Wolf did a good job. He did it very well. He let him go. He didn't, and nobody abused it. That's the important part. Of all of these 9 people that were up there, no one abused it. Nobody kept talking and kept talking. They did go a little longer than 60 seconds, but you can't say anything in 60 seconds, folks. I'm sorry, you just simply can't. So, consequently, you know, I'd rather hear the answer to 10 questions and each of them take 10 minutes than hear the answer to 100 questions and each of them take a minute. That's ridiculous. You don't get anything out of the 100 questions because you never get a real actual answer. And so, consequently, it's better if you can give them a little more time and let them actually say something. And this is what happened. And he did an excellent job of that. I will have to give him credit for that. And the whole debate went very well. Plus the fact, unlike ABC or whatever that last one was, they didn't cut it short by a half an hour and all the other thing because, you know, it's supposed to be a 2-hour debate. They cut off the last half hour of it. They've got to get their act together if they're going to do any more. The next one.
Well, yeah, you got. I mean, it's a presidential debate. It's a for the presidency. We, as a country, maybe that's just the thing. We just don't take it serious anymore.
Oh, I think we've got to see. I think that's what's happening right now. I believe we've got an awful lot of people that are indeed taking it very, very seriously, and it's about time. So. It's going to be a very interesting thing to see what's going on. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen for this particular election because I think we're going to find out that a huge amount of differences are going to take place. We're going to replace a huge amount of people, if not almost everyone. And we replaced 40 people or 20 people or something last election. Those people can possibly stay, most of them. But I think we're going to do a lot of changing. And we've got some people. Now, Barney Frank is retiring. He's not going to stand for re-election. Barney Frank has done some really good things. He financially understands what the money thing is all about, and he has done a lot for our country financially in the time that he's been there. But he still has been there, I think, over 30 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's time for him to step down. So I'm sort of sad to see him go and sort of happy to see him go, kind of all in the same breath. Because he is smart and he's done some things, but he's been there long enough, and he's got enough smarts to know it. That's good. So,
and how do you feel about the people when they go to the polls and they're looking at the list? You know, they didn't come prepared. You know, okay, well, let's see, for the Democratic side, whatever. I don't know that one. Don't know that one. Oh, I've heard of that one. I'll click that one.
Well, that's why I keep putting things on the KRBN website, because I want to have everyone more involved and more informed about what's going on. I think I've got stuff on there now so you can be almost totally informed about the national candidates for president. So we've got them all on there, everybody who's running at this particular point on the Republican side, and that's what we're worried about for this first year until we get them all the primaries out of the way and know who we're going to have as a major opponent. But then I think I'm going to try to come up with a way, and it's not easy because you got 50 states to work on, but I'd try to come up with a way to figure out at least the main governor and different people for the states, so you can find out about your own state. I think we need to just make that all available as possible, and I think I'm doing that.
Well, and if time allows, too, if we can get with our IT guy and whatever. Like what I have on my personal blog, in Lane County, there are three commissioners that went against the public vote on a gas tax, and they enacted anyways, even though it was voted down. And that's, unfortunately, is more common than not in various areas, including Lane County. And people got mad. One of the representatives said that he's been in office for over 20 years. He's never seen people this mad before. Well, yeah, because we said no, and you do it anyways. And my point is I have that little reminder on my blog, and maybe that's the thing that as we come across, and I'll invite people to send us articles, any of the candidates that's running, if like the guy that says, why read the bill? We should put that out there to remind people that this is the representative that is either going against the voters' wishes or not. They're there to do a job. They're not doing the job. Why read the bill? Why do this? You know, because we put you there to do the job. If you're not going to do the job, we definitely don't want to reelect you and put you back in. But memories are short. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. My only problem, of course, with all of this is the fact that we only have so much room and we only have so much. I mean, you're talking about tens of thousands of counties if you want to go down as far as county. I want to go down as far as state, but I don't know
I agree. Down to a certain level. But like the presidential candidates, for example, and the congressmen that are running for reelection, is to remind people because, you know, unless it's I hate to say it, but we live in a soundbite community, and there's a lot of people that, like you and I, that do spend more time involved with politics. And then there are people that, you know, unless it is just a real quick, easy to find, they don't really spend the time on it. But people should be reminded that, you know, if they're just going to put this guy back in office because his name sounds familiar, well, you know, find out if he is a good guy or not.
And I am putting soundbites on there too. Click on the button that says candidates, and a whole page will come up with different sound bites for the different candidates. So there's a lot of information on there, and the more we can get on there, the better off we are. And it'll take a little bit of time. But then we're still, a year away from an actual presidential election. So as things go on, we'll get more information on there and make it bigger and bigger and bigger, and you can use this website as your own place to go to find out anything you want to know, because there's so much to know and there's so much information out there, and finding it on the internet is sometimes hard to find. So if we just make it available right here, easy to get to and easy to find, maybe that'll help.
Exactly. And like Cliff asked, what harm can 4 years do?
We're finding out a lot. I'll never make that statement again.
Exactly. So it's really important. And also, you know, it doesn't hurt for the public to get mad either. I mean, like I said, 9% approval rating.
That's what I'm banking on. I think the public is downright madder than hell and going to do something about it. I think they're going to do something about it. I think we're going to have a big awakening when November rolls around again as to who we're going to put in there and how many people are going to be changed. And I'm just getting more and more excited about it as I read things online and watch things on the telly and so on and so forth. It's just amazing.
And speaking of, again, let me go ahead and give out our phone number, 646-721-9887. Again, if you have any opinions on this or anything else we're talking about or even things we're not talking about, give us a call.
Give us
a call and say hi.
Do you know that the federal authorities are now seizing domains on the Internet? They seized the domain names of 150 websites that they've decided were selling counterfeited, pirated merchandise. They've seized 150 websites off the Internet. Now, in this particular case, I understand if they're selling counterfeit or pirated merchandise, that's bad. I certainly hope that they are absolutely positive that, because That's a little scary when we got our government seizing people's websites. I don't think I like that at all, even a little bit. So, because if they're going to do it for that, then they're going to do it for other things, and we're going to get to the point where we have to be really careful about what we put on the internet. And that's the one. It's a wild, wild west at the moment. I understand that too, but that may be a better thing than not.
Well, I remember reading an article like that, and it's strictly over copyright, and they were even talking about I'm going by memory here, which is scary. If you even put a link to copyrighted material, it could get you in trouble.
Right. And there's just a point where, you know, too many people are doing those links. I mean, everybody's doing those links. So this is 150 websites that are accused of selling counterfeit or pirated merchandise, literally selling merchandise. That's what they seized them for. And I guess that's not a bad thing. Of course, I can see why we'd be doing it this time of the year, because Cyber Monday, right as we speak, is supposed to be the biggest time. And for the first time, I think, ever, Cyber Monday is supposed to be a bigger sales day than Black Friday.
Uh-huh.
So, interesting.
Well, it's definitely a lot easier to go online and order something than to put on your battle gear.
And I do business with a place called Geeks.com that sells computer parts and things. You can't believe some of the bargains that they're doing for Cyber Monday. Oh, Lordy Pete. It's unbelievable. They've got some fantastic bargains. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that because I'm not selling for them. But anyway, that's. I just wanted to mention that the feds are getting there, so we got to pay attention, because you understand, as long as we keep the administration that we have, the feds are going to get more and more and more and more involved. The feds are going to be telling you what you can do and when you can do it, even more than they are now. I mean, right now they tell you have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle or a bicycle. Right now they tell you have to wear a seatbelt. Right now they tell you this, they tell you that. But it's going to get 10 times as bad if you leave those people in there, because there's a point where a whole group of people think that the federal government should be running your life, and I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the last thing that we wanted, was the government in our lives, because for some reason, and I still haven't figured this out, everything is based on profit. So when you have people that are out there hungry for power...
Stop. That's fine. Profit is good.
Right. Profit is good. But how is the government profiting when they, except for control, like the seatbelt law, for example?
The government is not a business and should not profit.
Right.
That's a whole...
No, I agree. But what I'm saying is that these people that go out for power, like they're talking about George Soros's and that type of thing, that want to put more controls on you, what are they actually gaining, I guess would be a better word, by doing that?
Okay, who is George Soros, and why are we bringing him up?
Well, apparently he's some wealthy guy that they think that he runs the country, but...
Well, see, now, we ought to be careful about going into who decides these things, because we've got an awful lot of isolationists and people out there who are panicky about what's going on, the world is going to end, and all that sort of thing. I try to stay away from that. The idea of making a profit is fine, and as long as you do it legally and morally. But there is a lot of people out there who try not to, and, of course, we're trying to put them behind bars at this particular point.
But do you want the government to be, I mean, they already monitor the phone calls. You know, they got computers that will do that now, that's searching for keywords. You got cameras everywhere. You got, I guess, some of them actually have audio. The question is how much do you want government in your everyday life? And it's getting to be more and more.
Well, I want government in my life as little as possible. But see, that's where I think you cross the line. This Soros guy is not government. He is a business person. He is out to make money for himself. That's fine if he can do that legitimately. If he tries to be something he isn't, then he is no longer legitimate, and he should be behind bars. So As far as what the government can do, we can control what the government can do. We can control what the government can do. But you have to get off your dead butt and vote the people out that are doing what you don't like.
Exactly. Or, like I said earlier, is when you got Congresses that with a 9% approval rating.
Well, and at this particular point, it's not as good an approval rating as the president has. But the reason for that is very simple. Congress isn't out there every day with our money, driving our bus, and campaigning for himself or for themselves. Consequently, they don't have the approval rating. That's the only reason the president's approval rating is where it is, I believe, is because he spends 50% of his time making sure that his approval rating is as good as possible. And consequently, and there's an awful lot of people who are on welfare or on unemployment and such things, and our president has made sure that he's kept those numbers up high enough that he's got an awful lot of people that are there and quite happy he's in there letting them continue to take that money. So consequently, we've got to get the other half of the people fired up enough and upset enough, and they're getting there, believe me. But that's what I think is making the biggest change in what's going on. Is it's not just the United States. We've got people all over the world who are making big noises and are getting upset and tired of the kind of things that are going on in our country right now, and in other countries, almost every country, as a matter of fact. So that's the thing that we've got to pay attention to. There's a lot of them. I mean, many, many, many countries. But we've had some elections I believe it was Monday it was last week that Mario Monti was appointed president to lead the government of Italy. And what he's doing, he's putting in a group of business people to take over and do things. And this is not it. A bunch of countries are doing things to change how things are going to happen and what things are going to happen, because countries left and right are on the verge of collapse. I mean, just we've got people saying it's not going to be next year. It's going to be before the end of the year. It could be just in a matter of a couple of weeks before things going on. Greece could be defaulting almost immediately, in which case that could mean the entire European Union, the European euro, is no good. And what is that going to do to our economy if the euro doesn't work anymore? That means we have to re-evoke different things with different treaties with every country out there instead of just the European Union. We don't have to the union to work with. We have to work with every country and every type of currency individually. And since June of 2010, the Netherlands, Slovakia, Belgium, Ireland, Finland, Portugal, Slovenia, and Greece and Italy have changed their governments. That's a lot of countries to change their governments in less than a year's time, because it's all the economy. It's all the economy. The whole thing is about to topple down. And I think
we are a global economy now.
Yes, definitely. That's what I'm saying. We can't sit back and decide. For one thing, if the European Union were to collapse, I went and looked to see what states would be involved and what it would do to different states. A lot of states do very little business with the European Union or with Europe as a whole or with the rest of the world. But and Oregon would be one of the least affected. Washington would be one of the most affected. I think it's number five. Because they do a lot of business with the rest of the world. And, of course, we say we don't, but we do. We send our stuff, our merchandise and things up to Washington, and it's sent out from there. So it would affect us considerably more than you might think.
Exactly. And speaking of a little bit closer, but there's an article out from Judicial Watch recently about Michelle Obama taking a safari trip to Africa, and I'm kind of scanning the articles. They go $425,000 for the trip, where she listed both daughters as senior staff on the manifest. Now, if you and I did that, the IRS would be all over us.
Oh yeah.
But you know, that gets back to again the.
That's back to the whole thing of the Obamas don't consider anything illegal. It's just whatever they want to do.
It's a big paid vacation right now to them.
I don't. You see, that's the thing. I don't really care about the paid vacation. I don't care about $400,000. $400,000 is such a small, little, insignificant number as things go. But the idea that you can do it and no one else can, the idea that you can do anything you want regardless and no one else can, to ignore the Constitution, to ignore the laws, that's the problem we have, and that's what the Obama family is doing.
Well, what I meant was is that since he got into office, it's like, well, he can go anywhere he wants to go. We pay for it. He can go to theater. He can do anything he wants to do. It's one big vacation to him instead of just, taking the office of the presidency seriously. And now, especially after he started campaigning, we don't have a president. We got a campaigner.
Yeah, that's right.
That we're paying for.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
And a big, black, ugly-looking bus.
Well, I don't know how ugly it is.
And how do they get that bus to where it's going? You think they drive it there?
I would assume they do.
What about the C-130?
I don't know. I haven't heard about that.
Yeah. Well, I doubt that if they're going to Seattle, I doubt that they drive it cross-country to get there.
I don't know. I have not, like I say, I don't concern myself with that. I as far as I'm concerned, the whole idea that Obama just totally ignores the Constitution, ignores the laws and such things. I believe people are getting so fed up with this whole thing that he's out. I don't believe he's got a chance in hell of actually becoming the president again. I think that's just all there is to it. As everybody on the debate campaign schedule maintains, anybody on that stage could do a better job than what we've got now. So I don't think many people are concerned about putting him back in. The idea is we've got to change the people in the Congress, both sides, and make them a little more responsible. And I've heard more and more people lately, and not just a couple, but on different talk shows and on different television shows and such, people that are now making comments that we need to have term limits. We need to adjust how long people can stay, because people making the Congress a destination point, a lifetime thing, has got to stop, because that's not necessary. Too many of these people, and I understand they're going in there and getting rich and all that sort of thing, and a lot of them were rich before they went in there, so they didn't really need that. But we've got to stop that. We've got to get more people involved in what's going on. That way, more people have a vested interest in making the government and making the country work better.
Exactly. And maybe that's just the whole thing, you know, like what's going on overseas. You know, they're putting more businessmen in place instead of just politicians.
Well, Spain just had an election Sunday, as a matter of fact, and they're ending. See, Spain is one of the strongest economies in Europe, and they're already at 21.5 unemployment. 21.5 unemployment in Spain. That's unsustainable. You've got to do something about that. And they just did. They just had an election and toppled the entire government. And so it's their popular party, they call it. And Greece, and it's just happening everywhere, not just here. It's happening everywhere, and some of them are not scheduled elections. These are things that are coming up because the country is about to collapse. And 17 countries in the European Union, and we're talking about eight of them that have seven or eight of them that have already gone. Well, see, they haven't gone under. They haven't declared bankruptcy. They haven't done anything like that. But they are totally changing their government in order to keep from that. So there are a lot of people that are really worried in this world, not just us.
So what you're saying is that they're actually looking at the situation and trying to better it.
Well, they've got to because they're even – well, you know, I think I was going to say they're even closer to being verge of bankruptcy or closer to collapse than we are. I don't think they are closer to collapse. I think they're closer to admitting it than we do. We have this thing, like you say, our whole society has this thing. While we were fat and happy, we just sat on our butt and let somebody else do it. But we're not fat and happy anymore. There's an awful lot of us that are now out of work. A lot of us are going to be out of work. A lot of us that are sitting there biting our fingernails because we don't know if we're going to be out of work or not. And this it's changing radically. Just unbelievable changes in the world. And we've got to do something about them. And first thing we've got to do, of course, the very first thing is to get our house in order. And the only way we can do that right now is to, we've got elections coming up. We've got to change the president, and we've got to change the governing body, which is, you know, the House and the Senate. And so we've got to change those two. And I think we're about to do that and making huge differences.
That's right. And like I said, getting mad, as the citizenry getting mad a little bit, is a good thing, because we can't be complacent anymore. I mean, the society is going in a toilet. I mean, look at your jobs. Look how far your dollar goes.
Even
and all you hear is that the what's that?
I said even more than getting mad, we're getting scared.
We're getting scared.
And
all you hear is that the government is so concerned, you know, well, we got to raise taxes to create jobs. It's like you're taking money out of the populace to do what? You know, they talk about construction jobs. How many people can do construction? How many people can get a construction job?
Well, that's true. That's true. And that's, you know, if you look at history at all, you'll know that that's not true. That's not the case. That's not how to do it. I mean, it's been proven over and over and over and over again. So consequently, just take a little reading trip.
Well, yeah. If the government wants to really do to help the economy, the best thing they can do is just do nothing. Is just back off a little bit, drop taxes a little bit, and the economy will fix itself. But not if you're going to keep changing the game, every so many months.
This whole tax thing is the thing you've got to stop looking at, because you can't raise enough taxes. You can't raise taxes enough to get us out of the problem. You can't cut taxes now. I remember that's what I said, to get us out of the problem. You've got to cut spending. You've got to adjust spending so that you don't spend yourself into the problem. That's the one thing that's what's happened. We have been so concerned, and I understand being concerned about wanting to help people and do things for people and make their lives easier. You've got to be a little more prudent about how you do that. You can't spend your way into prosperity. It just can't happen. In any business that you've got, you know, if you're running a business and people are saying, well, these big businesses are just keeping that money. They're not spending it. They're sitting on that money. They're not spending it. They're not hiring people. Well, of course they're sitting on it. That's what you do when you've got unrest. You don't know what's going to happen next. You save your money just in case. Consequently, that's what they're doing. And that's the thing they're supposed to be doing. But that's not what the government's supposed to be doing. The government is supposed to stop spending. The government has to turn things back over to the local government and the state government, and then they've got to give the money that they're collecting back to the state government or else not collect it. So that's the only way that the raising taxes can make a difference, is that you're taking it away. When you raise it as a national thing, you're taking it away from the states, who are the ones that are supposed to be collecting it, and using it to do local things. And we've just got the whole thing. We've got to take a look at what the Constitution says, but we've got a president who doesn't believe in it.
So, well, and also to your follow-up, too, I mean, like, on the surface, the first stimulus package, you know, sounds like a good idea. You put money into the economy, and hopefully it'll help create jobs. And like Obama said, that they were going to monitor where the money was going so that it wasn't being spent frivolously by the states it was given to. Well, and that's the last I've heard of that. But if you go down the list of where that money went, it's laughable. I mean, like, I can't remember the dollar amounts. I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to study the migration of snails.
See, again, the dollar amounts and what you're doing with it doesn't make any difference. It's not the job of the federal government to do that. That is not what the federal government here is for. And if you take a look, that's exactly And that's what has somewhat surprised me. That's exactly what all of these European countries have done. It's exactly the same thing. I don't know if they're following our lesson or not, but whatever it is, I would have thought that they've been here thousands and thousands of years longer than we have. They'd have figured it out, but obviously they haven't. We're all figuring it out together. That's why this whole world is about to totally collapse. But Europe is days away, I believe, from complete collapse of the European market.
Exactly. And we're stagnating our own situation because of the limitations and regulations. We're suffocating development in our own country, I feel.
Well, again, it has to be. This country was founded on private business and the idea that businesses can do a better job of taking care of themselves. And if they fail, they fail. There's no such thing as too big to fail. There's no such thing as too small to fail. There's no such, if they fail, they fail. Then somebody else will come in who knows what they're doing, and they won't fail. I know that's sad, and somebody has to hurt for it, but that's just all that has to do with it. I failed, and I accept that as a learning process. So you can't just sit back and bail everybody out. It just can't be done. And we're still talking.
But I'm harping on taxes again, but it's like when I had my business. Did you know that I literally had to pay a tax on my toilet paper? I'm serious.
The reason why not?
I had to as part of, well, first of all, I didn't know that Lane County had a personal property tax, but on business you do. And I literally, and I called them because I couldn't believe it when I was filling out the form, had to declare a value on the rolls of toilet paper in my supplies.
Well, I hope that made you be more frugal with your toilet paper.
It did. I started charging my employees, and they never mind what happened after that. But I told them, see, I changed the title of the property tax to the TP tax. But I told them that, well, first of all, how do you value toilet paper? Well, my answer to that is it depends on the need at the time. You know, if you don't need it, it ain't worth anything. If you really need it, $10 a roll, guys. But
and the idea is to go out and pick up old telephone books and leave them laying around in there.
Exactly, but I thought that was kind of going a little bit too far. You know, a tax on your toilet paper. I mean, give me a break.
Well, you know, that's why the tax thing has got to be totally changed. And what is our tax code? Our tax code is 72,000 pages or something right now. No one ever reads our tax code. Nobody, I think, ever has actually read the whole tax code. Nobody knows what it means. You just go and look up the part that you're interested in and read that part and go from there. So there's got to be another part if you want to. Bad enough, you can go find another part that counteracts what you read the first time. So it's just beyond reprehensible. So there are so many things that have got to change. But the first thing we've got to change is the president and the Congress. Then we can get down to perhaps changing some other things which actually make a huge difference. But there are so many things in our government that have to be changed in order to let the government work again. And it's not just us. It's not just our government. I'm finding that it's all the governments of the world have basically the same major problems.
Well, you know, I wanted to throw something out there real quick is that when you listen to the talk shows, I'm a talk show junkie. You know, you hear a lot of programs, or most of the programs, you know, talk about, well, like Cliff just said, we got to change the president. There are actually one or two that are Obama supporters.
Oh.
And what's interesting, especially when the when people call into the show and they try to, you know, they said they're going to vote for Obama again. When you listen to the reasons that they are in favor of it, it's almost laughable. It's like, don't you pay attention to anything?
Well, a lot of them don't. No, they're doing well, or they're getting public assistance some way or another, and so they're quite happy with it. A lot of people are getting some sort of public assistance, and they're quite pleased with the fact that Obama's all for that, and that's sad. I'd rather have a job than have public assistance.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm sad to say, I had to go on food stamps for about 3 months because especially in Lane County, jobs are practically non-existent, or at least in my field. And I was at the point that I would take any job that came along, and even that was hard to find. You know, I finally had to, how far is it from College Grove to Eugene? About 20 miles?
17 miles, yeah.
17 miles. I finally landed a job. It was a three-quarter time job in Cottage Grove, which ran up a $200 fuel bill for me. And but the point is I went and took it, but I went on food stamp assistance in the meantime, especially before I got the job, because, like I say, we were literally broke. And the thing that's interesting about that, well, a couple things is interesting experience. First of all, when they pulled up my Social Security number, they looked at me and says, "You don't look like Heidi." No, I'm not Heidi. And so they weren't really overly concerned. Of course, I ran down to Social Security office immediately afterwards and made sure that I was still Robin, and I am. But they didn't seem to care. But the second thing was is that I used it for its intention. During the time that, you know, when I wasn't working, the assistance came in really nice. As soon as I got a job, you know, I went ahead and didn't reapply for it and didn't use it anymore. And they kept bugging me saying, you know, you can use this, you know, you got all these on here. We put more in your card. You know, they wanted me to stay on it, I guess, is my long drawn out point.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have, you know, done what a lot of people did, still take the money until they said I can't take the money anymore.
Yeah. But yeah, that's another thing that yeah, you're right. Let's not get onto that because that's another whole subject. I was just looking here. We're talking about different states and what they're doing, the difference. Oregon is $12.5 billion in debt for 2009. Washington, on the other hand, is $24.6 billion in debt.
I thought the Constitution, Oregon Constitution, or at least the city Constitution, one of those says you can't go in debt.
Well, they are. They have a budget shortfall of $1.8 billion. Washington has a budget shortfall of $2.9 billion. The biggest difference is that Oregon's actual GDP is $165.6 billion, where Washington's is more than twice that, $338.3 billion. So percentage-wise, Washington's in better shape than Oregon. Now, here's the biggest thing. Unfunded pension liabilities. We all know what that is, PERS. Oregon has unfunded pension liabilities of $10.7 billion, or 20% of their budget. Washington has a minus $179 billion. In other words, their pensions are ahead of the game. They didn't do that. They didn't start giving out money they didn't have. So they're $179.1 million ahead of the game. So it makes a huge difference. Unfunded health care and other liabilities altogether, Oregon has $609.8 million that are unfunded. Washington has $7.9 million. So it's a huge, big difference as to what's going on. And different states work things differently and more carefully. But Oregon is not in as bad a shape. We are the 34th from the bottom of as far as being in debt, or 34th closest to going bankrupt. In other words, we're doing pretty good. Washington is number 35. We're right next to each other there. So there are 34 other states in the country closer to going into bankruptcy than we are. Rhode Island is number one. Number two is Connecticut. Number three is Massachusetts, then Illinois, and then Hawaii, the top five. So just kind of an interesting little thing to see how different states are running each other. And, you know, I was a little concerned about Rick Perry when he got into the Democratic or the GOP race for president. I wasn't real sure that he was doing a great job, and actually he is. Texas is right near the bottom. Texas is in really good shape financially. It's still not floating its own, but it's still in much better shape than most of the states in this country are. So it's.
Well, what do you think it would mean if a state actually declared bankruptcy?
Then nobody knows. There's no law. Everybody's saying there's a law that says that states can't go bankrupt. There is no law that states can't go bankrupt. There is nothing in the law that allows them to go bankrupt. And so consequently, states don't. Now, at least at this particular time, they haven't. Cities Orange County, for example, did. There have been some cities and some big counties that have gone bankrupt. But basically what they do is there's an awful lot of people. As you know, going bankrupt, there's an awful lot of people that they owe money to who they just write off. That's, you know, there'd be hundreds and hundreds of businesses in your state that would never get paid or only get paid pennies on the dollar of what they supposed to get. At this particular point, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing to think about because they're not getting paid now either. The states don't have the money to pay them. There are people, there are businesses and things that have done business with the state that haven't got paid for years, and they would just simply not get paid. So they'd be sitting there. They're living without it now. They'd have to write it off. And some of them have already probably written it off. So it's hard to say exactly what would happen as long as we don't have 90% of the states doing that, it's probably not going to be a big thing that we're going to feel. But we are going to feel it. Everything will, you know, I was going to say everything would have to be cut. Everything would be on the board. Pensions would have to be cut. Everything would have to be cut a little bit. But what's different than what we're doing now? We're doing exactly that now.
Well, I know that there's a, if you do a search for states in bankruptcy, that the apparently Congress is working on ways to let states declare bankruptcy, and they say, like you just pointed out, that part of the results would be that it could alter its contractual promises to retirees, for example.
Well, the thing that would be good. A lot of them have made contractual arrangements that they can't do. They can't keep them. They can't go with it. That's why most states are looking towards going for a bankruptcy clause.
Yeah, of course, you know, you're retired. Is that, you know, if they went ahead and declared bankruptcy and changed what the benefits you get at the moment.
I'm not getting state bankruptcy. I'm not getting a state payment. Mine is a federal payment.
Federal payment, but what if they reduce that?
Well, see, here's the thing. There's an awful lot of talk going on about that, and in reality, we can't do that. I mean, the federal government has been talking about changing Social Security for years. They've got to let, because you see, the difference is I paid for that. I actually paid into that. I have actually paid for my retirement. I mean, this is not unemployment. This is actual retirement. And that's supposed to be in a separate fund. And if you listen and look and read, you'll find that there should be billions of dollars in that fund. I mean, there is billions of dollars in that fund. Of course, what has happened is the federal government has decided that, no, we can use that if we want to. So all that fund is a line on a piece of paper saying that money is there. But there are people now who are talking about getting into office. Michelle Bach, all of the Republicans have made mention of just about of what's going on, and they've all vowed to make Social Security totally back to where it's supposed to be. It is paid for. It is not a freebie by any change of the word. Now, to change it a few years from now so that everybody after this does have to pay for it differently than what we did before, but the thing is, two countries who have done this. Two European countries have actually done this. They've gone ahead and made their Social Security program a private program where you pay into it X amount of money, and the feds pay into it too. And it's been very successful as it has solved their problems and in both cases been unbelievably successful, way ahead of the game. So there are ways around all of this stuff, but we've got to get somebody with enough balls to do it.
And speaking of, we got 10 minutes left in the program. There's still enough time to give us a call, 646-721-9887. And again, encourage you, you know, if you want to comment on the topics we've been talking about today or if you have one of your own. Like I say, 10 minutes doesn't sound like much, but it actually is plenty of time. 646-721-9887.
Yep. As it turns out, Utah, South Carolina, Indiana, Alabama, Washington State, and West Virginia all do rely heavily on exported things and would be affected if the European Union were to collapse, which there are the entire Wells Fargo Securities Corporation has a study out that says it's going to happen before the end of the year. People are getting panicky, and it's about time. And the thing is, when it does happen, it's gonna upset everybody enough that something's gonna take place. I don't know what, and I may be living in the back seat of my car. I don't know, but the point is, it's something's gonna take place.
Well, U.S. is gonna turn into a third world country. You know, like you say, we just can't keep borrowing and spending. You know, that's just like going back to, you know, the amount of money we borrowed from China. When I heard that news, it's like, well, I'm not going to repeat what I said because I'm trying to keep our GP rating here. But, you know, it's one thing that, you know, we borrow money. Well, for one thing, what the heck are we doing borrowing money, especially when we give away a lot of money?
Again,
you know, it just doesn't make economic sense.
See, that's the whole thing. That's I'm going to go back to looking at our webpage and taking a look on the homepage, and you'll find places to go to find out information about the candidates. You've got to find out about these candidates. You've got to come up with an answer as to who you'd like to vote for. Almost anyone on that stage could do a better job than what we've got. I do have a preference, and I have said it over and over and over and over again. I'm also all for, right at this particular point, of Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich has the ideas, he has the experience, he has the talent, he has the intelligence to do what is necessary to do. And I've heard him, and I've got sound bites from what he's done. I've read information about what he's done. I'm poor. I haven't bought his book. Books. He's a published author and has lots of books about what's going on. I haven't bought them, but I have paid attention to what he says. And even if it's not him, I don't care if it's him. There are a lot of other people on this list that can do the job. And you need to go and read up or listen or whatever it is, because there's information online about every single one of them, and you need to find out what it is and pay attention to what it is. And again, thanks to CNN for this particular page that they have on here. It's an extremely efficient page. I really like it because it not only shows you the people that are currently running, it shows you people who have officially withdrawn. They did actually run and have already conceded. Tim Pawlenty, for example, is one that we did see a lot of for a while there, Tad McCorder. But, and then potential candidates, potential people who possibly could still run. I don't think they're going to because most of them said no. Declined candidates, there's a whole list, a long list of people who said, no, I will not run at this particular time. But they've got those all listed, and you can go see who they were and what they did or didn't do. And it's all information that you need to know about. And it's just very good information. I'm really pleased that they have taken the time and the effort and the space online to put it on there for us to read. Are you still?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just
lost you.
I'm doing some things in the background here.
So
just bear with me for a moment. And again, like I say, we got 6 minutes remaining in the program. We had quite a few guests in and out of the chat room today. Most of them were logged in as guests. And like I say, unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio, you cannot participate, which I think is really bad. I am very pleased to see the traffic and welcome to the show. And again, if you are listening to us on the archives, you know, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
Anything you want to know, anything you want to say, talk@krbnradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you want to as a matter of fact, if you wish to send us your phone number, and we'll call you. If it's going to make a difference to how your phone bill gets used, we'll call you. We have a deal with Skype that allows us to call anybody in the United States, and we can do that. We'd be more than happy to get you on the line that way, or to just use Skype if you've got the computer there and can do that. Either way, any way you want to do it, we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, call us.
Really, yeah. I mean, I wanted to get more people's ideas and more people's impressions of what's going on because, you know, there's got to be some things that I'm missing or that I don't understand or things that you think I'm just screwed in the head with it. It's totally wrong, and let me know, because there's got to be somebody with a different opinion, and I'd be more than happy to hear from you and let everybody else know your opinion of what's going on, too.
That's right. 5 minutes remaining in the program. There is one thing I wanted to talk about on Newt Gingrich. There's one thing of the for the delay, because I was looking up the article because I want to make sure I got the right person. And that's Newt's opinion on illegal immigrants. He says that any illegal immigrants who stayed in the United States for over 25 years should be allowed a path for citizenship. Well, you know, he's talking, his thinking is about breaking up the families and everything. But on the other side, if you happen to be violating the law for 24 years and know you can make it past the 25th year that, you know, you win the prize, that's where I draw the line.
Well, see, I have to disagree. If I've been here 25 years and I've been a model citizen and done what I'm supposed to do, as far as I'm concerned, that's enough. I agree you shouldn't have been allowed in here in the first place, but most of the times we've already been given a pass by Reagan and a couple of other people. I mean, now is not the time to do that. But if, you know, personally, I sort of agree with him, but I think it can be happened. There's a word they have for it that I can't think of at the moment. But the point is, you've got to take away the incentive. You've got to start enforcing our laws, all of our laws, not giving the illegal immigrant the advantage of education, etc. You've got to start enforcing all of the laws. And if there's no reason for them to come here, they will stop coming here. That we, I don't believe putting a million people on the border to try to stop people is going to do it. I don't believe fences or airplanes or anything else is going to do it. You've got to take away the incentives that the United States has built in that entice us, these people, to come to this country. And one of them could be you've got to find a way that they can't send the money back to the people in Mexico, because that's a lot of them do. They come here and work and send the money back to support their family in Mexico. That's
well, one of the easiest ways to do it is to take away the tax incentives to the business owners. If you if the employee social doesn't match up, then they can't deduct that employee, and as soon as it starts costing the employer, then they'll stop hiring them.
Well, that's true too, but we've tried to do that. We've made all kinds of laws that say you can't hire them, and we started to, but we don't enforce those. The point is, we've got to enforce the laws we have on the books, and we've got to stop making it more profitable to be here than it is not to be here. And as soon as we do that, then it's all going to be solved. But we've got to first take care of our entire economy in order to keep enough money home and to keep enough people working that we can do that. We got to worry about the people that are citizens now before we worry about the people that aren't.
Well, when they're talking about, like the federal government and local governments are talking about the lack of tax revenue, one of the reasons why some businesses hire, according to an article that I read, illegals, is that they'll pay them the same wage. They just don't have to pay the FICA and all the other taxes and matching that go along with it.
Right, right.
You know, when you hire an employee for $9 an hour, you pay them $9 an hour under the table. When you hire an employee legally, it costs you about $12 an hour for that employee that's getting $9 an hour.
At least, yeah. I understand that. And that's the part. But we have laws that says that you can't do that, and we aren't enforcing those laws.
Exactly, and that's part of the problem. But that's one of the things that, I don't know, immigration is going to be a big issue in the upcoming elections. But like Cliff says, you know, check out our homepage, krbnradio.com, for more news and information. And do your homework. And we need to make some changes. Don't just vote because you heard the name before.
That's right. And go look at the name. If you've heard it before, go look it up and see what it means and see what they're doing and who they are and who they aren't. And we'll be putting more and more stuff on there. There's going to be every reason in the world to get back here and take a look, and you can find it all of it.
See you next week, folks.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com. Or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.